All right, Javosai, good evening, let us begin. So tonight's daf is Yotas, and we are picking up Emir Hashem on Yotas. And we left off Ube Masnisin Leka, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says Masnisin Leka, are there no other cases in the Mishnah ultimately, again, that deal with situations where halacha lemaisa, someone defies rabbinic authority and therefore there's a penalty against the individuals. There's no such thing as like that. There are no additional cases. I have a ha ika ha disnan, but what about the following case? So, this is a famous maisa. Disnan chatcho chulios vinasan chol bin chulio lechulio. So, we'll say, so just a word of introduction about this. Rashi brings this down, but I'll tell you it outside. So, we'll say, we know that halacha lemaisa, kli, a utensil is capable of becoming tamei. Right, receiving tuma. Now, once the kli becomes tamei, the kli remains tamei ultimately until it loses its kli status. How does something lose its kli status? Usually, if it's deconstructed in some way. So, for example, the only issue there. So, on a simple case, let's say if you had a bowl that became tamei. So, how can you easily remove the tuma status if you make a hole in the bowl so that it's no longer capable of being a receptacle? So then, it loses its tuma status. Earthenware vessels, in order for them to lose their tuma status, really have to be fundamentally deconstructed. So, here's the interesting case. Let's say you have an oven. Right, then when the Gemara talks about an oven, it means like a portable oven. Disnan tchatchul chulio. So imagine for a moment you cut the oven into sections. And then what happened? Vinasan chol bein chulio l'chulio. And then you put sand in between each of these sections in order to kind of glue it back together. I see, if you glue the sections back together with sand. So we'll say, so now what's the shayla? The shayla is, do we say that since the oven was cut up into pieces, it lost its identity as a kli's utensil, therefore lost its tuma status, and even though you put it back together, it's like a new kli. Now it's a brand new utensil. So Rabbi Lazar Matar, Rabbi Lazar said it's tahar. In other words, it lost its tuma status, and now it is tahar. The Chachamim mitamin. The Chachamim say no, it's tamei. The Chachamim hold that halacha lemaisa, since you put it back together, ultimately, again, it regains its former identity. And now, ultimately, again, it is tamei. It's tamei. So we'll say fundamental machlokes. Now, what's interesting about this case over here is Rabbi Eliezer was a singular opinion. The Chachamim were the majority opinion. Yet Rabbi Eliezer held his ground. V'zeu tanoro shel achnoi. So Rabbi will say, this is the famous story of the tanor shel achnoi. Mar says, my achnoi, what's achnoi? Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel melamed shekifua haluch halachos keachnoize v'tamuha. It will say it means that the rabbis, the chachamim, surrounded Rabbi Eliezer with proofs, like a serpent, right? Like a snake wraps itself around its prey. They surrounded him with proofs that he was incorrect, and ultimately, again, that in fact, that halacha lemaisa would be tamei. Now, we'll say, now, the unspoken part of the story is Rabbi Eliezer refused to back down. He refused to back down. Rabbi will say, now in halacha, we have the concept ultimately of acharei rabim lahatos. Halacha is decided by the majority. And the minority must go ahead and yield to the decisions of the majority. That's the halacha. And in fact, if you have a sage who refuses to yield to the majority opinion, that's what we call in halacha zakin mamre. Zakin mamre. Such a person is put to death. B'tanya, osa hayom that day, heviu kol taros shetira belazer. They brought all of the items that Rabbi Lazar in the past had declared ritually pure, the sarfum lefanov, right? And ultimately they burnt them. In other words, what they did is they essentially negated all of Rabbi Eliezer's past rulings. Ulubasof berchuhu. And they cursed him. Afilu hachi, so the Gemara says, the point over the Gemara is making over here is, you see, here's another case, ultimately again, of someone who defied rabbinic authority and their repercussions. To which the Gemara says, "Afilu hachi nidui b'masnisin lotinan." You're right, but it doesn't say anything explicitly about them excommunicating him in the Mishnah. All right, ela b'chav dalid makom oshecha mishkachas la. So we'll say, here's the problem. This entire sugya was introduced to us with the statement of, in 24 places we find examples ultimately of where people were excommunicated because of flagrant violation of rabbinic law. So where did he come up with the 24? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi medame milson milson. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kind of equates different cases. In other words, whenever Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi sees a situation, ultimately, again, of a single individual refusing to yield before a collective opinion, he treats that as one of the cases. Rabbi Elazar lo medama milsimil. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, does not go ahead and just automatically create comparisons. Okay, beautiful. So now we're back to our regular sugya. Remember, again, we were talking about, the way we got started in our last Mishnah, was speaking about the halachos of those who are involved in the funeral, and specifically, what are their obligations regarding Shema and Shmona Esrei? So the next thing the Mishnah said was, no semita v'chilufeyan. Anyone carrying the funeral bier, and including the people who are going to carry it at a future moment, right? V'chilufeyan means those who are going to come in the next shift. So Tanur Rabbanan, so we'll say, interesting halacha. In motzina sameis samoch l'kriya Shema. The halacha is, we try not to do a levaya right by the time, right by Zman Kriyat Shema. Right, we don't do it, why? Obviously the logic is sound because you don't want people to miss Shema. However, Hischilu, if they started the Levaya, in Mafsikin, we won't stop it. So ideally when scheduling the Levaya, we try to do it in a way where it's not going to conflict with Kriyat Shema. But if they already started the Levaya, then ultimately, again, we don't stop them. Aiva Ini, is that so? Vahar of Yosef, Afku Samach Kriyat Shema. But Rav Yosef, he began his levaya close to the time of Kriyat Shema. It's different. Adam Chashuv Shain. Rav Yosef was an important person, and an Adam Chashuv, an important person, is different. Okay. Shelifnei Hamita v'shela Achar Hamita. So again, Tanur Rabbanan. Here we go. Haoskim behesped bizman shamis muto lifneihem. So let's listen to this. Those who are involved in the eulogies. Now remember, involved in eulogies means not lav dafka that they're giving the eulogies, but what it means is their presence. They're sitting there while the eulogies are being delivered. What's the halacha? Bizman shameis muta lifneihem. That I will say, when the deceased body is there. Now I will say, understand, there are sometimes, you know, we're used in America, so you're used to, even outside America, we're used to having a funeral in a funeral home. So then obviously the deceased is there. So often people have levayas in different places. So for example, sometimes levayas were held in a shul. Well, the halacha is, in a shul, you do not bring in a body. The only bodies you bring into the shul is for the Rav and the Eishes Rav, the Rebbetzin. Those are the only two bodies you bring into a shul. Everyone else, what they would do is, and sometimes this happens, I know, like in my parents' community, there's not really like a funeral home in the immediate. So what they do is, the levayas take place in the shul. What happens is the hearse is parked right outside of the shul. The body is in the hearse. Everyone goes into the shul, you know, for eulogies. Someone stays saying tehillim with the body. So I'll say, so that's why you see this distinction between like hespedim being given. For us, it sounds strange. What do you mean eulogies are being given and the body's not there? So just point out, you could have scenarios like that where eulogies are being given, everybody's assembled for the levaya, but for whatever the reason, the mace is not there. So watch this. So ha'oskim behesped bizman shameis muta lifneihem. So those who are engaged in the eulogy, when the deceased is right there, nishmatin echad echad v'korin. Shabbos says, so remember again, since the deceased is there, it would be disrespectful for everybody just to get up and go say Kriyat Shema. Now remember, the assumption over here is you're not going to say Kriyat Shema right there at the hesped. Why not? So remember again, this goes back to what we learned before, vloig l'rash, right? Again, it's disrespectful to do mitzvos in the presence of the mace. So therefore, what you do is they kind of, people absent themselves one at a time, right? So Reuven goes, and Reuven goes, Shimon goes, and that's Hedu Shema. Ein hames motel lefneihem. What if the corpse is not there? In other words, the body's not there. So they're delivering a spadim, but the body's not there. Hein yoshvin v'koren. So hein yoshvin v'koren. So we'll say, in that case, if the body's not there, the truth is, there's no problem. What can you do? Everybody could just sit in place and say Shema. Right? That's actually an easy case. Just sit in place and say Shema. V'hu yoshev v'domim. Now I will say, the who is the Avel. The Avel sits there and he is quiet, right? Why is he quiet? Because remember, again, I will say, the Avel, during the Hespedim, during the Levaya, is still in what? In Aninos. And as such, he's exempt from all mitzvos. So whereas if the body's not there, everyone else could go ahead and say Kriyat Shema. And the Avel himself sits there and is quiet. Heim omdim mispalin. I will say, similar idea. Let's say the Levaya is going long, right? So now, again, they're nervous about Shmona Esrei. So they could actually, if the body's not there, they can get up and daven Shmona Esrei. excuse me, right there. V'hu omet umatztik alav es hadin. Now, what does the Avel do when everyone else is davening Shmona Esrei? What does he do? He stands up and he does what is called Tzidok Hadin. Now, we do Tzidok Hadin today as well. Tzidok Hadin literally means it's the tefillah of acceptance of judgment. So, tefillah of acceptance of judgment. The essence of that tefillah is Hashem Nasan, Hashem Lakach, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach. Hashem is given, Hashem is taken, the name of Hashem is blessed. But here's what's interesting. So when everyone else gets up to say Shmona Esrei, the Avel also gets up, but he's not davening Shmona Esrei, because remember again, he's in Aninos. So what does he do? He does Tzidok Hadin. And what does he say as part of that Tzidok Hadin? But Omer, Ribon HaOlam, Master of the Universe, Har Bechatasi Lefanecha, V'lo Nifrasi Mimeni Echa Mine Elef. Hashem, I have sinned much before you, and you have not extracted from me 1/1000th of what I am liable to you. So we'll say, so it's interesting here. It's interesting how, from the Avel's perspective, the Avel looks at the loss of a loved one as a form of punishment. Even though, again, I will say we are conditioned to understand that bad things happen for a variety of reasons, and not necessarily everything is a punishment. But the Avel says, Chadosh Baruch Hu, I've sinned much. And again, at the end of the day, you've only extracted 1/1000th of what I'm truly liable to you. Yiratzam lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetigdar pirtoseinu. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it should be your will. That literally, again, tigdar pirtoseinu means you should literally repair our breaches, right? A pirtos is like a breach in a fence, a breach in a wall. You should repair our breaches. Upirtos kol amcha beis Yisrael. And the breaches ultimately of all of Klal Yisrael, berachamim, with compassion. So this is interesting. Well, so Abayi says, lo mi bayle inish lemi merhachi. Abayi says, no way, do not say that. Do not say that. Now, do not say what? Now, what Abayi is taking issue with specifically is that phrase, Ribon ha'olamim, harbe chatasi lefanecha, v'lo nifresa mimeni echad mine elef. That phrase, that I have sinned before you much, and you haven't taken, you know, you haven't even taken from me 1/1000th of what of the liability that I have. Abaye says, don't say that. Why don't you say that? Well, it's incredible. Why not? The Gemara says, Damar b'shimon Levi, v'chintanam b'shimon Rabbi Yossi, li'olam al yiftach adam piv la'satan. I will say, here is this famous concept. A person shouldn't open up their mouth to the satan. I will say, now what does that mean? That a person ultimately, see, we'll say a little bit of background to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with rachamim. He runs the world with compassion. Now, we'll say, how does compassion work? How does compassion operate? What divine compassion does is, even if I don't deserve God's mercy, He gives it to me. And even if I don't deserve bracha, He gives it to me. So because I recognize that I'm the beneficiary of much divine blessing that I don't deserve, it's important for me to acknowledge that and not to say things that are self-incriminating. Right? So therefore, Abaye says, you don't come before God and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have sinned so much, and you haven't even punished me for 1/1000th of the stuff that I've done. God knows that. God knows that. God is acutely aware of that. But don't say it. Don't say it. Because at the end of the day, again, that's a self-incriminating statement. The idea being, I was about to say, you know, sometimes when a person says things like that, it almost comes across almost like a shtickel self-righteous. So Abaye says, we all exist because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's profound compassion. The idea is we have to be smart about it, and we don't publicize the fact that we are living off divine compassion. As such, that's the concept of Al Tiftach Peh LaSatan, means don't go ahead and kind of engage the prosecuting angels against you. Don't get Beis Din Shamala worked up saying, oh, Silber has all of this stuff that he does not deserve. So I'm Rav Yosef Mikra. Where do we see this concept of Al Tiftach Peh LaSatan, right? Where do we see this concept of kind of don't engage in self-incriminating words? Shenemar kimat kistom hayinu. So we'll say, this is incredible. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya. So Yeshaya says, Luli Hashem tzavakos hosi lanu srid kimat kistom hayinu. Yeshaya says, we were almost like stone. He's talking about Klal Yisrael. We're so bad that we're almost like stone. It's a pretty significant statement. And then what happens? Maya hadu lehu Navi. What does the Navi respond? Shimu devar Hashem kitzinei stone. Then Yeshaya calls them officers of stone. Listen up. In other words, they Klal Yisrael, the ones who made reference to the fact that are almost like stone. So Yeshaya said, okay, now listen up, you officers of stone. So the idea over here is you don't engage in self-incriminating statements or self-incriminating actions. Incredible, incredible. All right, we'll say, let's go back there. Kivru Esai, so we'll say, it's also just interesting how like... So there's a difference. There's a difference between acknowledging, essentially, al tiftach pe la satan really seems to be not in a tshuva perspective, right? In a tshuva perspective, I'm supposed to say what I've done wrong, right? What's getting abaye in this statement? What's getting abaye is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I've sinned. What's getting abaye is I've sinned and you haven't even extracted from me 1/1000th of the punishment I deserve. Abaye is like, why? Why are you saying that? It might be true, but it doesn't seem to be a wise move to say it. That's different than tshuva, where again, in order to do complete tshuva, I have to own that which I've done wrong. Incredible idea. But say, I think going with what Avi's saying also, it's this very fine balance between, on one hand, you of course have to be honest with who you are and what you are and what your faults are. At the same time, also recognize that sometimes too much self-recrimination is also unhealthy, as it could allow a person to kind of lose a healthy sense of self. Okay, let's go back to Kavru Asameis V'Chazru. So we'll say, so remember again, actually we'll say, you know what, we'll stop over here for tonight. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem at the two dots tomorrow. Kavru Asameis, Shkoyach.